Okay, tonight we're going to continue learning a little bit of the halachas of Shavuos, and I hope to complete those halachas tonight, Be'ezer Hashem, and thereby completing, Hilchos Shavuos. So Siman Tov Tzadik Dalet, page 200, we are up to Siv Beis. Halachas as follows. B'yom Hasheni, on the second day of Shavuos, Koirin B'Parshas Kol HaBechor, we lain Kol HaBechor. Atzof Seder, until the end. Umafti Koirik Mayesel, in the same after as yesterday, first day. Umafti B'Chabakuk, min V'Hashem B'Echol Kotshoi, Alem Natsach Bin Gnoi Soi. So this is the laning, and this is the after. Mishnah Sif Cotton Hayes reminds us of Kol HaBechor that in Chol Shabbos, this is only if it's on weekday. If it's on Shabbos, we start a little bit earlier. Shetzichan Likros Yosef, we've got to have more psukim. To Shabbos, Shiva Kurim. On Shabbos, we need seven aliyahs. So therefore, we have to start a bit earlier, psukim beforehand. Maschinin Aser Te'aser, we start already a few psukim before that, but Aser Te'aser. Otherwise, Kol HaBechor is sufficient, five aliyahs. Siv Gemel also leisanois b'moitzoi chag haShavuos. One is not allowed to fast on moitzoi chag haShavuos, which we call the Isur Chag. So Isur Chag Shavuos, one is not allowed to fast. Now, why is that so? Why is that so? So we're learning now the following rule. The Isur Chag of Shavuos is more stringent than the Isur Chag of other Yomim Tovim. That's the rule we're going to be seeing now. So Isur Chag is always some level of happiness. Every Isur Chag, Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuos though is one level more strict. What's that? The Moitzos have gotten involved. Why? Mipnei Shechalat Zeres B'Shabbos. If Shavuos falls on Shabbos, according to the pre-Luach days, Yom Zvichas HaKorbonos Zachar Shabbos, it could have happened in times of the Beis Hamikdash that one would bring the Korbonos, that Shavuos would fall on Shabbos, and you would not allow to bring the Korbanos on Shabbos, and therefore it would be postponed for Sunday, which is Isur Chag. Again, in the days of the Beis Hamikdash, where obviously in Atzel you'd only keep one day, it would happen that Shavuos would fall on Shabbos, you would not allow to bring the Korban of Shavuos on Shabbos, it would be pushed off to Sunday, there was no second day, which was really the Isur Chag, and the Isur Chag would be therefore the day that would bring the Korbanos of Shavuos. So it shows us that although it was a weekday, and although it was not a Yom Tov in any way, in any account, nevertheless, it being the day after Shavuos, it would bring Korbanos. So therefore it shows that it was Ken Yom Tov, as the Mishnah Berurah says, it was like a Yom Tov, it was an elevated day, you'd bring Korban of Shavuos. And therefore, according to that, and in line with that, we also have more halachas, Isur Chag related halachas on Isur Chag the day after Shavuos. Lefi tam zeh, Be'isur Chag she'achasuk is mutar leis'anos. So therefore, when it comes to Isur Chag Shavuos, we're not allowed to fast. Also, leis anois b'moitzoi chag haShavuos. We don't fast on the day after Shavuos. This is unlike the Isur Chag of Sukkot that you would be allowed to fast. So, lefi tam zeh b'isur chag haSukkot mutar leis anois. You would be allowed to fast on the Sukkot the day after Sukkot. Achem medivei Gomash, medigam Shom leis anois. However, this is the opinion of the Vilna Gaon that holds that even on Sukkot you wouldn't be allowed to fast. However, having said that, the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch is clear that there is more positive restrictions on Isur Chag of Shavuos, because that's the day of Korbanos to be bought if it would fall on Shabbos. Okay, similarly also says the Rama, Vein Oymim Tachanun, we don't say Tachanun. Isur Chag, we don't say Tachanun. Mitchilas Shchoyd, yeah, and, yeah. Not only that, from Rosh Chodesh 7, we stop saying Tachanun. Ad Yom Ches, boy, Tainu Acha Izuchak. So from Rosh Chodesh 7, we stop saying Tachanun. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, being Shavuos, Zayin, being second day Shavuos, Ches, being Izuchak, we don't say Tachanun. Mishnah goes that little bit further and says, "In Sifkotan Zain, Ein Oimrim Tachanun, Vegam Ein Misanim Bom." Also, we don't fast. So nowadays, we don't only there's no Issa fasting on Issuchak, but also on the days before that, we also don't fast. Why is it that we don't say Tachanun from Rosh Chodesh 7 onwards? Why is that? Why we refrain from saying Tachanon? Mishnah Berurah and Sifkot and Ches explain. Mitchilas Chodesh 7 miyad b'sheni b'seven on the second day of 7. Amar Lohem Moshe lekatcham b'latoyra. Moshe Rabbeinu was told that you better get. Moshe Rabbeinu was told to prepare the Eden for the receiving of the Torah. So therefore, the Eden had a few days to prepare themselves and get ready for Shavuos, and in line with that, there was some excitement, some preparation, some achonas, and that we kind of commemorate, and in line with that, we also don't say Tachanun nowadays from the base, from Rosh Chodesh 7 onwards. It does show us in a halachic level, and that's quite interesting, because you could really argue, well, that was then. Then they prepared themselves for the Torah. Then they actually received the Torah. Then Moshe Rabbeinu was told, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, the Yidden must prepare themselves. They've got to get ready. And therefore there was days of readiness of preparation. What's got to do with us? Why is that? Just because they had days of preparation towards the real physical Kabbalah Torah, why does that tell us nowadays, Tov Shin Pei, that we stop and we don't say Tachanun? What's the connection? Why is it? Just because it was the second, third, fourth, fifth, seventh, what has that got to do with us? We are not receiving the Torah on the 6th, 7th this year. Halachic question. And the answer is, absolutely. So this is something which the Baalei Mussar go in great depth. They go to town about this concept, but there really is halachic sources for that. The Baalei Mussar, look in Sif Seichaim and other Sfarim, the Baalei Mussar and the Baalei Hashkafa, they tell us that Kabbalah Zotorah, there's every year a fresh Kabbalah Zotorah. We are not receiving the Torah of then, but there's every year a renewed Kabbalah Zotorah, individualized on one hand, but communal on the other hand. Kabbalah Zotorah taking place on Shavuos every single year. So there's a new refreshed Kabbalah Zatoira, and because of that, it truly makes sense that we refrain from saying Tachanun already a few days before, because we're preparing for Kabbalah Zatoira, which is taking place this year, not then. So this is something which the Baalei Mussar speak about, but there really is genuinely a Makoyer in the poskim. It's not the only place. We find this in other couple of areas in Halacha, in Hilchos Shavuos, that there is that concept that we're really preparing ourselves for Kabbalah Zatoira. I think this is a very nice Ma'amokim. I think there's credit to this group over here. All right, okay. Now let's speak about the minogim. What are the minogim that we know on Shavuos? What are the minogim? Not much halacha with the minogim. What are the minogim that we know of? Pardon? Learn all night. Okay, true. We discussed that. Correct. What else? Milchiks, that's right, milky foods. Very good, we'll speak about that shortly. Flowers. Okay, let's speak about that. Now, flowers is one of my... there's so much misconception about that. Let's get this clear. Let's get this, once for good, let's get this clear. So, now, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Rama says follows. So, first of all, it's a Rama, which probably means that this is an Ashkenazi Sheminik. I don't know if the Sephardim really had that Minik. I don't know. To me, I probably believe that it's not something which was common in Sephardic countries. Anybody in Sephardic shuls? Do you spread flowers in Sephardic shuls? I recall for sure seeing once Fadi Shul with just flowers, but I don't know if this is generally the. Let's see. V'noya gil ishtach asovim. The Ramah says the custom is to spread asovim b'shvus on shvus b'beis haknesses in shul. And in the houses, zeichel simchas matan Torah, has a remembrance of simchas matan Torah. Now, I specifically didn't translate the word asovim. What it is over here is the meaning is to lishtoach. What's lishtoach? Lishtoach means to spread. Thank you, Rabbi Tepper. Yes, it means to spread. Asovim means literally asev asovim. Literally means grass. So let's go slowly. V'noyagil, and the custom is lishtoach, to spread asovim, grass, b'shvus on shvus b'beis haknesses in shul, ve'abatim, and the houses. This is the original minhag, to spread grass in shul. Why? Mishnah in Sefkot Yud tells us, Yud, we're going to get to test a bit later, Yud, why is that? Zeichel Simchas Torah, Shoisham Asovim, there was grass, Soviv Har Sinai, around Har Sinai. Kedeksiv Atzena Boko Aliro, we learned this, I don't know if that's covered in that everybody because the pasuk says Vatzun Vapokaliro. It says when in preparation of Kabbalah Torah, the instruction was that all the grazing animals have to be removed from Har Sinai. So if there was grazing animals in Har Sinai, Muzdach Zayin, it must be that they were grazing on Har Sinai. How can they be grazing? It's the middle of the desert. The answer is yes, it is desert, but because of Kabbalah Torah, there was suddenly grass growing there. Therefore, one spreads grass in shul. Now, just a couple of things. First of all, I just want to point out the machshava, a shkofa point. It's a beautiful thought. We have to just realize that this minhag is actually a very deep minhag. So we're learning that because there was grass growing on Har Sinai, because of that, we actually we memorize that we do something in line with that in shul. This is very deep a minute. It's very deep because it obviously tells us something about the nature. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, the nature was complete. It couldn't be an absolute desert. Deserts are also beautiful. Nothing to do with beauty of deserts are also beautiful, but it's not complete. There's something lacking in the desert. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, the nature had to be complete, had to be flourished, had to be complete, and that therefore and thereby there had to be flowers growing on Har Sinai. It's nothing about the beauty. Desert is beautiful also. It's stunning. But when the Torah had to be given, then there had to be a completion, a wholeness. Is that the word? When it's whole, I mean it's complete? Wholeness? Of the Bria, of the creation of the world. And that's why flowers have to be growing. That's what we think about. When the Torah was given, and the Torah is given, we see it as a complete, and that's why there has to be flowers. Okay. Now, again, but precisely, to get this clear, the minhag is to have grass in shul. Grass in shul. Is this what we do nowadays? We spread grass in shuls? Is this what we do? They spread grass?
Imitation grass.
Okay, that's something to think about as well. Does imitations work? One could argue imitations doesn't do the trick. But if we do, let's assume that it does. So there's actually grass spread on the floor. I wasn't aware. Excellent, very nice. So I think that most shuls do a different minhag. And we'll speak about that also. They will put flowers around, which is not the same minhag. That's something else. And we'll speak about that in a minute. But the grass on the floor is something else. Now, my grandfather lived before the war in Mishkaltz. His father was the Rav of the Shul in Mishkaltz. It's a very big community of 20,000 Yidden, 25,000 Yidden. I believe it was the largest Kehillah in Hungary. And in that shul, so my grandfather used to say, in Hungary, that's what they used to do. In the big, large shuls as well, the floor was covered in hay. Covered. covered in hay, and you literally had those beautiful, beautiful shuls. Magnificent. I've been in beautiful, magnificent shuls, and the whole floor would be covered in hay. And that is, well, if Shtibel does that as well, that is the meaning of the Rambam. Not the flowers. Not the flowers. Flowers is something else. Now, the Mishnah Berurah is concerned about the Muktzah aspect of it. And that's if cotton tests. If you look in the earlier, if cotton b'shvuas heinish b'en sheshoytchin b'erev b'yomtev or b'yomtev gufa afilu im oysen asovin in ruin le'maychel behema, even if those, this hay, it's hay, that's what it is not edible for animals. If it's edible for animals, then it's anyway no Muktzah. But just make sure the cows are not walking around shul. But it's not Muktzah. It's not Muktzah. But even if it's not edible for the animals, for whatever reason, I don't know why, even if it's not edible for animals, kevan shechoshav alei mibadyoim, since you designated that hay before Yom Tov, you designated it, you specified it, you planned to use it for the shul's floor, shore le talton on your out to carry it, it doesn't become Muktzah. So the hay on the floor in the shul is not considered Muktzah. What he does point out, I'm skipping one line. Okay, however, im chol shvuas biyom rishon, if shvuas falls on Sunday, in lishokchem b'shabbos, don't spread it on Shabbos. Don't spread hay on Shabbos, which comes before shvuas. Because that's hachon. We know we're not allowed to prepare from Shabbos to Yom Tov. It's a preparation. So therefore, you also won't be allowed to spread the hay on Shabbos, preparing for the subsequent day, which is Shavuos. That you are not allowed to. Hello, shotchem b'Yom Tov gufa. You may spread it on Shabbos. On Yom Tov or b'erev Shabbos on Friday, but you may not spread the hay on Shabbos because that's a preparation for the next day's Yom Tov. All right. So this is the minik, a beautiful, beautiful minik. What I don't know is what the Mishnah Berurah, what the Shulchan Aruch says. He adds the word ve'habatim. He says that this custom of spreading the grass is in shuls over batim and in the houses. Now I wouldn't be able to get away with spreading hay in my house. I don't know if anybody else can. I don't know if I've seen anybody spreading hay in the house. I don't know if that's going to work. I don't know if that's practical. And I certainly haven't seen it anywhere. But that seems to be honest, the meaning of the Ramah. Having said that, we've got to remember that when the Ramah was talking about spreading hay in the house, he was not talking about stone floor like we've got nowadays or carpeted floor. It was, of course, all earth. And there, it's a bit easier, perhaps, to understand how you can spread hay around as opposed to our stone floor nowadays, which is not going to be so practical. So, but that's what the Ramah says. That's the meaning of the Ramah. Zeichel simchas matn Torah. Now, interesting also, just the deal of Zeichel Simchas Matan Torah, it was all part of the Simcha of Matan Torah, was that there was grass growing. That's a Simcha of Matan Torah, not just a pure Matan Torah. Okay, continues the Mishnah Berurah. Second white line in the Mishnah Berurah, it's gotten yud. Nergin lehamid ilonos. The custom is also to place ilonos trees, pevesa kineses, in shul ubavatim, in the houses. Note here again, shul and houses. Flowers, shuls and houses. Another minik. That is not the minik of the Ramah, but there's another minik of putting flowers in shul and in the houses. Why? Zecha, for another reason. Zecha shibatzeres nidonel peresa ilon, because on Shavuos we are judged for the fruits of the forthcoming year. Peresa ilon, the fruits growing in the forthcoming year, that we symbolize and by having fruits in our shuls and in our houses. V'agro, however, strongly dislike. So it's called Peros Ha'ilon. It represents. It's, you're right. Since we can't put, I suppose, apple trees in our on a vase on the table, it's going to be slightly impractical. So therefore, we do flowers because that shows also that represents something which grows from a tree. Yeah, it's V'agro bitl minek zed. The Gaon strongly disliked it. Why? Because we know there's an Issa Doraisa of Chukas Agoy. We're not allowed to do the same than the Goyim Chukas Agoy. We know the Goyim in their Chukas, on their festivals, they will also put trees in their houses. And I suppose in their service place in their houses too, in their private houses and in their place where they worship. So they also put trees there on their festivals, on their chagas. So now they do that for a religious reason. I know that some argue that it's of pagan origin, and it's probably true. I never looked into it, but they argue it's from pagan origin, which is it might be true, but it's certainly nowadays done for a religious kind of ceremonial kind of aspect. Since they do that, so the Gaon felt that if we do the same for a religious reason, this is Chukas HaGoy. You're allowed to do things that Goyin do, right? A Goy also holds an umbrella. And I'm also allowed to hold an umbrella, because that's not for religious purpose. But as soon as something is done, the Goyim do it for religious purpose, for a religious specific idea, and it's part of their worship, part of their service. We cannot do it for religious and for halachic reasons. We can't do that. That's called Chukas HaGoy. And it doesn't really make so much of a difference who was first. That's why Moshe speaks about Chasam Sofer. It doesn't really make. We're not allowed to do something which has got an aspect, an element, a looks of doing something. So we can't start putting trees now in our shuls, says the Vilna Gaon. We can't. Interestingly, the Vilna Gaon was very makpid on that, and that's why the Pushim, the Minigar Pushim, is that they will refrain on Shavuos to put trees, flowers, etc. in shul. Many shuls in many Litvisha yeshivas and others have got the minig of like the Vilna Gaon. Having said that, interesting. That's an interesting knach. In Eretz Yisrael, many have gone back to the minig, for a very geschmacky reason, and that's so many shuls have gone back now to the minig of putting flowers in shul. Why? Because the whole problem of Vilna Gaon is very much based on where you are. Now, who are the non-Jew? Who are the Gentiles in Eretz Yisrael? Most of them are our dear cousins, the Muslims, and they don't have that. That's not part in any way in their worship. On the contrary, their sincere respect for their place of worship is very very restrictive, very very restrictive, and therefore they don't have that part of their religion at all. Consequently, in Eretz Yisrael, which is a place of Mokama Ishmaelim, that's how they put it, so therefore there is no Chukas HaGoy by putting flowers in shul. You can with pleasure put trees and flowers even according to the Vilna Gaon. And that's why many yeshivas and many pushim and many Vilna Gaon kind of traditions, they will still put flowers in shul, although in Europe they wouldn't do that. So that's an interesting, but the Vilna Gaon was very makpid. Vilna Gaon was very makpid not to put flowers in shul. And again, this is not the minik of the Ramah, this is something else altogether as it is. Having said that, many Ashkenazi countries had the meaning of putting flowers and to be quite extravagant on it and to allow them to put really to go town about very nice flowers in shuls. And they come from this minig. Anybody, any experiences on flowers and shuls? Anything to add? Yeah, not all of them. Not all of them. First of all, Sfadim, I'm not sure. Sfadim, I think probably most of them don't. Some for sure don't. And within the Pushim, there's some do and some don't. I mean, I remember one particular shul which was a Bnei Yeshiva, like very very yeshivish, and there was no flowers there, and because they felt that at the end of the day there is still goyim there as well, so they wanted to be makpid as well. But I can't say which, if the majority is to put flowers or not. I'm just saying that even the ones who are makpid on the traditions of Vilna Gaon, some of them are will put flowers and trees in shuls in Eretz Yisrael. It's a really good question. I actually didn't see in the poskim about this. I did look. I didn't find any poskim. I personally, and it's my personal feeling, I have no makoy for it. To me, it sounds like it defeats the purpose. I think that the minik has to be with, it can only be fulfilled, the minik can be fulfilled with something which is alive. And I don't feel that a person is fulfilling the mitzvah by putting plastic, which I don't think so. Can I prove it? No. Have I got evidence? No. It's my personal feeling that the minhag can only be fulfilled by real life flowers. I think that the minhag is attached and connected to the idea of the beauty of the life of the creation, of how alive the bria is. The nature is something which is alive. Something which is flourishing, something which is, and I don't think you can give that really with something which is plastic. That's my personal feeling. One could argue with it, and Now, having said that, I want to just emphasize again the latter minik, which is the ilonois bezaknesus, the trees and the flowers. That clearly is something which applies in the houses too, in the houses. So one should take that into consideration to buy flowers for shuas for the house. It's just, I don't know if the lockdown measures, I don't know how that works this year, but many people have the minhag to take and buy a lot of flowers on shuas, and I don't know why, but I think quite a common minhag is to buy white flowers. I don't know where that comes from, but that is quite a common minhag with regards to the flowers on shuas. But that's the point. Right, okay, gentlemen, what we learned this evening, we learned about the Leining, which is kol habechol, and then on if it's on Shabbos, you're going to add from aser to aser. We spoke about isur chag of Shavuos being strict. There's no fasting and no tachanun from Rosh Chodesh until isur chag. We then spoke about the minhag of the Vilna Gaon to spread grass in shul and in the houses. Zeichel simchas matan Torah. We added the additional minhag, which is also to put flowers in the house in the shul, which the Ramot disagrees and didn't like. Right, that's for this evening. Okay. I wish you a very good evening. Good Shabbos to all. Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos.